Welcome to The Weekly Option, the podcast for people interested in trading stock options. Each week, we cover trade ideas and opportunities in the stock market right now. Whether you're a beginner, a professional, or just curious about options, this is the show for you. Let's get started. Welcome to The Weekly Option. This is episode 107 on March 28th, 2020. I'm your host, Eric, and in this week's show, we will cover the trades from last week on the VanEck Vectors Gold Miners ETF, the Silver Trust ETF, and Twitter. And then we discuss three new trades on Schlumberger, the Gold Trust ETF, and the S&P 500 Bear 3X ETF. Now, it's always great to hear from listeners. If you have any questions about the trades presented here on the show, or even about your own positions, feel free to email me. You can email questions to eric@theweeklyoption.com. That's E-R-I-C @theweeklyoption.com. And I've also created a short video series to teach you all the basics of option trading that you'll need to know to be able to follow along with me on this show. You can visit our website and click on the videos tab to watch them, or visit the YouTube channel for The Weekly Option. So the markets had a strong week, a strong up move after several weeks of essential free falling. So the Dow Jones Industrial Average grew 2,462 points this week, ending the week at 21,636 points. The S&P 500 index grew 236 points, closing the week at 2,541 points. And that's a 12.84% move in the Dow and a 10.26% move up in the S&P 500. So it was a strong week. So now it's time for the topic of the week. And this week we're going to look at one of my favorite subjects, which is economics. And I don't know if you guys like economics or dislike economics, but one of the things I like is understanding economics just gives you a chance to really just stop and think, right? We're going to have an economic review of some of the topics, some of the general themes in the market. And the goal here is to be stoic about events. They are neither good nor bad. They just are. And if we can learn to think through events, that's why I love economics. If you just learn to think through events, you might be able to find some opportunities that other people don't see in the marketplace. So the elephant in the room, obviously, because chances are you're in the same room or the same house that you've been in for the last 2 weeks. I think most of my listeners are here in North America, and I think the whole world, but definitely North America, is on lockdown. So it's the coronavirus. So let's think through things that are that have been hurt by this virus from an industry perspective. So no one's driving back and forth to work. So obviously fuel demand is down quite a bit. Specifically, gasoline demand, which is used for cars, gasoline demand, I know a week ago, was down about 30%. So very significant. That's not small. So you could think through what companies out there make most of their money selling gasoline. That might be some opportunity for you to make some money there. People are staying home, and if there's success with the virtual setup, you might actually see businesses leasing less commercial real estate space. As well, you have some companies that are going bankrupt or just closing down shop or laying off the workforce. So you might see a decrease in commercial real estate. Obviously, restaurants aren't doing nearly the amount of business out there. So I was looking at companies like Brinker, Darden Industries. Restaurants should be taking a hit. Things like paper products and office supplies. Sure, people are buying things for their home, but it still doesn't match the bulk amount of supplies that most large corporations purchase for office supplies. So there might be some companies out there that are affected by that. Mortgages, right? You're going to have people stepping away from their mortgage or not paying their mortgage for a month or two if they've been laid off. Many mortgages are offering to push, you know, extend the loans so that people don't have to pay a mortgage over the next month or two. That's going to have a real effect on their assumed value or their value in the future. So mortgage companies, finance companies. And then, of course, the airline and travel industry has just been decimated by all of this coronavirus stuff. So let's think through industries that should appreciate, right? I don't know about you, but I find myself spending more time on things like Facebook, YouTube, Netflix, Amazon Prime. I mean, anywhere, any media sources have a, this is a great opportunity for them to appreciate and value because they just have more people watching. And by that same token, any companies that sell digital advertising should also improve over these few, during this period. Any virtual meeting software, and contrary to popular belief, Zoom is not the only virtual meeting software out there. I've had more Zoom calls, Zoom meetings over the last week than I have in the previous year. Cloud services, companies that offer cloud services, remote access to company and personal data should improve. E-commerce, of course, has been improving because people are choosing to buy online rather than go out. Medical supply companies, pharmaceutical companies should improve. Delivery services also should be up. And think about things like trucking services, right? Trucking companies, they are still the connector between, say, a Procter & Gamble who makes a number of consumer goods and your local reseller, retailer. Those products are moved by trucks, so trucking companies should benefit through this because there should be increased demand. Let's think through the stimulus package. I mean, it's a massive package at $2 trillion. So who should benefit from this? Retailers, of course. The hope is that people are going to spend, the individuals at least, will spend that money. I think when you're looking at even companies like Campbell Soup, Procter & Gamble, lots of other companies in there, Colgate, Palmolive, companies that make consumer goods for the home, sort of your base level goods, they should benefit from this for sure. Companies like Walmart and Target, and they should improve from a base level stimulus. There are also some issues in there, or some allowances for financial firms, right? So maybe that helps to strengthen the banks, or think even lower end, like your local banks that have, or financial institutions that have a Main Street touch. Car companies, companies that finance local business, banks that help with any of the local touch. I would keep an eye on those and see if there's any common stock or anything out there that might improve on the stimulus package. Unemployment number that was out just released was huge, right? So what companies, or what brands, or what industries should depreciate, right? Well, obviously luxury brands may take a hit. Also retailers, the regular retailers should take a hit on this unemployment number. And you might say, well, luxury brands shouldn't take a hit, but there's always a base level of demand that still, for those luxury brands, that still comes from lower economic groups. Credit companies. So companies that issue credit to middle and lower class people should take a hit on this employment number because people should skip payments, right? Financial firms as well might take a hit on that. Who might benefit from it? Well, companies like the low-end retailers. We'll talk about like Tuesday morning, some of the dollar stores, Dollar General, financial firms that service underprivileged groups. Think like your MoneyGrams and that sort of thing, Walmart. I mean, there's all, the point of this is that all of this news, while it might seem bad, there are companies in there that are going to appreciate and depreciate. So if you just take a step back and don't, so get out, step out of the emotional side of the news headline and just ask yourself, well, what does this mean? what's the next step in the chain? How are these industries going to be affected? And how might I alter my portfolio to either do our two main things? If you've listened to the show, you hear me say two things all the time, and that's mitigate risk and lock in profit, right? So there are opportunities out there. There's opportunity to make money in this market. Do not sit still. Don't sit like a deer in the headlights. You have a core set of skills, right? To use, this tool options to make money. And on top of that, just think through it so that you can formulate an opinion, formulate a thesis, and then find trades to support it. So that's it for the topic of the week. Let's go ahead and dig into the trade review of this past week. And, you know, I was all set up for making money if the market continued. I believe I sold a call spread and bought a put spread. And as you know, the market did not go back down this week. It actually came up pretty strong, as I mentioned earlier, 12% and 10%. So, needless to say, consider this a foreshadowing that my trades didn't work so well last week. But we'll start off with the covered call. Looked at the VanEck Gold Miners ETF, symbol G as in golf, D as in delta, X as in X-ray. At the time, the stock was trading for $20.55 per share. I looked at buying that stock and selling the April 21 call at $1.98, hoping for a maximum return of 11.82% in 4 weeks. Well, the VanEck Vectors Gold Miners ETF grew $3.82 per share this week, closing at $24.37. The call option that we looked at selling is now worth $2.07 more, so that leaves a net gain of $1.75 if you were to exit the trade today. Exiting this trade, of course, would mean that you buy back the call option and you sell the stock. Of course, if you were to hold on to the trade through expiration and stock remains higher than $21 per share, you'll lock in $2.43 total on this trade, which is where you get the 11.82% return, which would happen over the next 3 weeks. And make no qualms about it, I'm not a fan of covered calls, like I said, but we discuss it on the show because it is one of those foundational trades that a lot of retail investors take on to dip their toe in options. The reason I don't like it is because you can't protect yourself fully against moves in that underlying stock. So it's great when it works. It's great when the stock goes up, but when the stock goes down, you're only protected by the amount of money that you receive when you sell that call option. The next two trade types that I get in, that I look at, have defined risk and defined goal profit margins. So I like those better because it allows you to know from the start your maximum risk and your maximum gain. So next we look at the credit shares. Credit spread. We looked at the iShares Silver Trust ETF, symbol S as in Sierra, L as in Lima, V as in Victor. The stock at the time was $11.62 per share, and I looked at selling the April 12-13 call spread at 33 cents, looking at a maximum possible loss of 67 cents per spread. SLV shares rose $1.82 this week, closing at $13.44. So the out of the money call spread we sold is now in the money. It's not good. We could buy the spread back for 68 cents, which would lock in a loss of 35 cents per spread. And this trade, of course, still has three more possible weeks before expiration. So we have to decide if we want to make any adjustments or not. Selling a put spread against the call spread is one of the only types of trades that can somewhat offset the risk, assuming you sell a put spread with a strike lower than 12, because our lower strike on the call is 12. So I would also make sure to sell a spread of equal size to the call spread. So we sold a $1 call spread. You would look to sell a $1 put spread. Now, the April 12-11 put spread is bid for 14 cents. That's not very appealing to me right now. If you sold another call spread, assuming stock won't continue to gain quickly, that actually adds to the risk rather than reducing it, even though you'd be collecting a little bit of money to offset the loss that you took in. So I would make the decision of whether to stay in this trade at all or to close out of it. This trade can still lose another 32 cents per spread. And honestly, where we're sitting right now, I would look to just see if I trust in this rally in the underlying stock market, or if I believe that the market is going to fall lower again before making a decision on whether to close this trade or not. Because if the market does in fact go lower, I would still believe that this spread could finish out of the money, but that's a personal decision of mine. You'd have to make a similar decision of yours if you got in this trade with me and decide if this is something that you want. Of course, every day of data, every day that the market closes gives us another bit of data. And right now, I'm going to look for more data to decide if I believe in this rally or not. So next up, we've got the debit spread. Looked at buying Twitter, symbol T as in Tango, W as in whiskey, T as in Tango, R as in Romeo. At the time, the stock was trading for $23.95 per share. And I looked at buying the April 25-24 put spread for 64 cents, looking at a maximum gain of 36 cents or a 56.25% return in 4 weeks. Well, Twitter stock actually improved $1.34 per share, finishing the week at $25.29 per share. The in-the-money put spread we bought is now out of the money, and you could sell the spread here for 17 cents, which would lock in a loss of 47 cents per spread. The main way to offset the risk in this spread is to sell a put spread against it, a lower put spread, and there just isn't enough premium in those lower put spreads to make it worth selling selling another put spread against it. So much like we talked about in the credit spread, I would lean towards making the decision in the future based on the direction of the trade that I see it on Monday and Tuesday. So if stock continues to fall, or if it starts to fall off again on Monday and Tuesday, I might give this trade a little bit more time to pan out. If stock really rallies Monday and Tuesday as well, I might look at exiting this trade, or at least figuring out how I'm going to mitigate the risk so that I don't lose the additional money that's in this trade. There's another 17 cents out there in this of value in this trade that you might be able to sell and at least keep in your account. So I'm hoping to let the market sort of breathe a little bit and see what's going to happen before I make a decision. And one of the reasons I like spread trades, once again, it's not just about knowing your maximum gain and your maximum loss. It's allowing you to take the emotion, some of the emotion out of the trade and just think. So there was thought that went into the trade on the front end. There's thought that goes on the trade into the trade on the back end as well, so that I'm not just operating out of fear. Because when we talk about 17 cents, we're really talking about $17 in the spread that I could lose. Or, you know, along with the credit spread, there's another 33 cents that I could lose in this trade. And so if that's the case, that's really just $32 per spread. So I don't have to freak out. It was a known quantity when I started it. I sized the trade appropriately for the rest of my portfolio, and I can make a logical decision on how I'm going to trade it. And that's the goal. Less emotion, more logic. Let everyone else freak out about their portfolio. Hopefully this allows you to make great decisions. So let's look at the trades for this week and then we'll wrap up. So we'll start off with the covered call. I'm a little leery of buying some of this stock right now anyway, but from a numbers perspective, this trade actually looks good because of how much premium's in the call option. So looking at Schlumberger, symbol S as in Sierra, L as in Lima, B as in Bravo, stock ended the week at $13.76 per share. So I would look at buying that stock and selling the April 14 call at $1.67, hoping for a maximum return of 13.88% in 3 weeks, almost 14% on your capital in the next 3 weeks. So you would enter this trade by buying SLB shares for $13.76 and selling the April 14 call at $1.67. This trade makes the most money if stock prices finish above $14 per share, and the break-even price on this trade is $12.09 per share. So in real terms, the stock purchase would require $1,376, and then you would collect $167 for selling the call option. So our next trade on the week is the S&P Gold Trust ETF, symbol G as in golf, L as in Lima, D as in Delta. The stock ended the week at $152.25 per share. I'm looking at selling the April 152-151 put spread, collecting 40 cents for that sell, and that gives me a maximum possible loss of 60 cents per spread. So you enter this trade by selling the April 152 put at $4.30 and concurrently buying the April 151 put for $3.90. This is a credit spread because we are ultimately selling the spread, and this trade makes the most money if stock prices stay above $152 per share. The break-even price is $151.60. Now, you would receive $40 per spread that you sell, and your actual risk is $60 per spread. And then the final trade for this week, I'm looking at one. This trade is inspired by a friend of mine who's been looking for ways to short the market, and I was talking about some of the various ETFs that appreciate in value as the market goes down. So I'm looking at the daily S&P 500 Bear 3X ETF, symbol SPXS, S as in Sierra, P as in Papa, X as in X-ray, S as in Sierra. The ETF finished the week at $16.90 per share. I'm looking at buying the April 15-16 call spread for 50 cents, hoping for a maximum gain of 50 cents or 100% return in 3 weeks. It's great when you can find this sort of scenario where you get a 50-50 chance of keeping the money or really making money, making 100% return in your capital. So you enter this trade by buying the April 15 call for $3.90 and selling the April 16 call at $3.40. This is a debit spread because we are buying the spread, and this trade makes the most money if stock prices remain above $16 per share. The break-even price is $15.50. So in real terms, you'll pay $50 to enter this spread, and your maximum gain is $50 per spread. And just to walk you guys through it, when this trade goes up, so I'm buying a call spread, hoping the market goes up, buying a call spread on this particular ETF means that I benefit as the market goes lower because this ETF improves in price. It goes higher when the general market sells off or goes lower. So this is actually a bearish trade even though I am buying a call in it. So anyway, that's it for this week's trades. Feel free to email me if you have any questions. Thanks again for listening. Feel free to share it with any friends you might have that are considering trading options or that are trading right now and trying to figure out which way is up in this market. And as always, I appreciate the fact that you guys tune in each week. So long, stay safe, stay healthy, which means probably staying indoors right now, whether you're in Houston, Texas, like I am, and there are only 68 cases locally, or if you're in New York City where there's something like 37 or 38,000 cases. So stay safe, be smart, and of course, happy trading.
Thank you for listening to the Weekly Option Podcast. Please subscribe to our show and visit us at www.theweeklyoption.com. Disclaimer, there is a very high degree of risk involved in trading. The indicators and strategies described in this podcast are for educational purposes only and should not be construed as investment advice. For our full disclaimer, visit our website at www.theweeklyoption.com.